Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. I'm Greg Hahn, President, Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management. And with me today is Adam Kunz, who's head of trading and works on portfolios with me. Good morning, Adam.
Happy Monday.
How are you?
I'm well. Well rested.
Yeah. It was a good long weekend. A lot of food. Did you go out shopping?
Did not.
Nope. You and 250 million other people did not go out shopping. So we'll talk about that. So on today's call, we're going to cover some of our investment themes and some macro themes and some micro themes. So we'll kind of shed some light on how we're looking at next year and how we're structuring portfolios to be set up for next year. Next year is going to be really an interesting year. And obviously, the economy is front and center. We've talked endlessly about our concerns about a slowing economy because of the jobs market. We did not have the seasonal job growth that we would normally see this time of year, just because we don't see the retail side picking up right now. But in there is actually an opportunity, we think, and we'll talk about that in a second. But there's kind of this intersection that's about to take place between the vaccine coming into the population and the economy picking up. And it almost seems like people just want to get back to normal. We saw some of that during Thanksgiving travel. We've seen it with the whole back to school initiative. People want normality, but they want protection from the virus because we obviously are dealing with an increase in the spread of the virus. So that intersection is not going to take place in a day. It's going to take a period of time. Our expectation is that between now and April, we're going to see the majority of the population, the vaccine will be accessible. Now, whether it's successful in controlling the spread of the virus, that remains to be seen. Our guess is that it will be. But that the impact then on what normal looks like, going back to gatherings where we're not wearing masks and 6 feet apart, that type of thing could take years, actually. Yeah. So everything from riding the subway to going to church to going to a concert to going to a restaurant, right? It's all
everything, yeah.
Right? So with that, We've unpacked a few of our themes last week. We have a few themes that we're going to talk about this morning from a macro standpoint, and we'll publish these probably come out this week in a separate mailing. But the big one now is fiscal stimulus, and the market is expecting. We would argue that the market is expecting fiscal stimulus. There was not a partisan agreement heading into the election to agree on a package, but we've got some key pieces of the last CARES Act that go away at the end of the year, including the holiday for student loan payments.
Yep.
And I think there's a need, or there's a desire, excuse me, on the part of the Democrats to really want to get that resolved. So whether they can pull that together and the timing of that, I think, remains to be seen. But it's moving up the narrative right now. So we still do expect to see some form of fiscal stimulus in the first quarter of next year. And what that actually looks like, though, remains to be seen. That'll be one of the themes, though, is that fiscal stimulus, we need it for some of the cities, right? These cities and municipalities, like these stadiums, are just not, the economics just aren't working when you can't put revenue in there. So it's going to be one of those themes. So what do you got, Adam?
So just on the equity side, markets just continue to go up. We saw all-time highs on the Dow last week at 30,000. The Russell's rebounded. It is now positive 11% on the year. The S&P 500 is up 12.5%. So you're seeing this past month has been a really good month for stocks. Like I said, the Russell itself was up 20% just in November, and a lot of that's really led by earnings. And that may sound crazy to say, but because the expectations were so low, so many companies beat and handily beat kind of drove the stocks this past month. So, but to put that in a larger context, the run rate on earnings for the S&P 500 this year is still negative 6.3% year over year earnings decline. So despite the fact that they're coming in better than expected, it is going to be the fourth largest decline in earnings in the past 10 years.
So let me get this right. We're hitting all-time records in stock market indices, but earnings are declining. Not 1% or 2%. Nope. You're saying earnings are going to be down 6%.
Yep. And the fourth quarter is expected to be down 10%. So it's, yeah, so it's a little bit of a dichotomy here. And part of that is really driven by the fact that all of the earnings declines are concentrated in three industries. That's the oil, energy industry, airlines, and hotel and leisure. If you just take them, their earnings are down $37 billion this year.
Yeah.
So if you took them out of the S&P 500, earnings would actually be up 4.3% year over year. So when you look at the market cap of those, they're pretty small. So what they're doing as far as moving the indexes, they don't, the declines there aren't having as big of an effect. So that's the biggest reason why you're seeing a difference in what earnings are doing. It's because they're so bad in those three versus everywhere else. So that's kind of what's happening in equity markets.
So Tesla got added to the S&P.
Yep.
Can we talk about that?
Great topic.
Oh, okay, so you're a car guy.
I am.
So do you have a Tesla?
I don't.
Do you want a Tesla?
I don't.
No? Doesn't it go like 0 to 60 in a nanosecond?
Yeah, I mean, if you just want to go on a straight line, they're really good, but they're really heavy. You try to take corners. They're not a corner carver by any means. But yeah, they go fast in a straight line. They can beat pretty much anything.
Is there a better electric car out there?
Well, I guess it's hard to say for the money. Because it gets pinned up against the Porsche Taycan, which is, you know, quite a bit more expensive. It is hands down a better car, better built, better quality. But it, you know, Tesla's 120,000, the Porsche is 180,000. So it's hard to compare. There's really not anything good in that $90,000 to $100,000 sector. But you know, it's a car that has built quite a following.
Yeah.
And that's really what's driven this stock.
So you didn't know this was going to be a car show this morning. So Tesla, in a nutshell, is a company that literally just started to show a profit this year, right? Mm-hmm. It was running at a loss. Governance has been a concern over the company. Trades at a PE ratio of 149. 149 PE, right? So it's if we look at 2020 earnings at $3.85, and where the stock is trading today, that's 149 PE. So there's obviously some growth that's discounted there. And one of the growth opportunities, arguably, is China, right? So it's one of the top 10 car companies in China, and as China looks to move into electric cars in a big way, Tesla's well positioned because they've got the manufacturing.
We do
plan over there. So, but after a run up of what 50% this year, the Tesla stock is going to be added to the S&P 500 and added to the consumer discretionary sector. And the problem in the consumer discretionary sector is it's dominated by Amazon.
Yep.
Right. How big is Amazon?
44%.
44% of the consumer discretionary sector is Amazon. So it's very hard when you're running sector models. It's a big risk to navigate. Now you drop Tesla in there, it'll be the second largest holding in the consumer discretionary sector because what the market cap of Tesla is over $500 billion.
Yeah, $585 billion. Yeah.
So, it brings a risk element to our sector models now that we do have to really navigate because you got the top two names now are 50% of that sleeve. Yep. Between Amazon and Tesla, and what we used to consider consumer discretionary, the Home Depot.
That's what I was gonna say. Arguably not what we would traditionally call consumer discretionary, but
yeah. So we've talked about using equally weighted benchmarks to help manage idiosyncratic risk In the S&P, we use ticker RSP in the equally weighted 500. So we'll look at the RCD. Yep. Is the Invesco product. It's their equal weight consumer discretionary ETF. And we'll use that alongside of the XLY, which is it's a little bit more expensive. I think it's a 40 basis point fee. And ours, the XLY is like 12 or something like that. But we have to do it to really manage the risk balance that we need. Otherwise, it's just a lot of volatility. Yeah. And anyway, so that's on the model side. All right. Anything on fixed income for you?
Yeah, I'll keep it real brief. I mean, rates really didn't do much of anything last week. And like you said, the stimulus package is really what bond markets are on hold for. But the negative yielding debt across the globe has stayed put right at $17.5 trillion. So you're just global, you're seeing the fact that there is really no growth, no inflation's keeping negative yielding rates everywhere. Corporate spreads just continue to tighten in. They were tighter by 10 basis points over the last 2 weeks. So you've got the investment grade index is up 8.5%, and pretty much we're back to pre-COVID spreads across the charts. So if you're triple B, single A's, even the high yield index. The only thing that's really much wider are triple C high yield, which pre-COVID were, you know, right at 400 and they're still at 700 spread. But otherwise, we're back to pre-COVID levels. So valuations are getting a bit stretched in credit, particularly with the fact that leverage ratios have increased during that time period. So just something we're watching out for. We have begun in our portfolios to shorten duration a touch, as well as incrementally kind of adding more positions and reducing the size of our positions so we don't have so much idiosyncratic risk in the portfolios.
So a few micro themes. Let's kind of go through some of these micro themes just to end the program here. But we opened up, we were talking a little bit about the retail Black Friday and how poorly the shopping malls were. Yeah. And but in there, we think potentially is an opportunity. I think the Census Bureau statistics are 80% of all sales are still through brick and mortar stores. So shopping malls are not going away.
No, they're not.
So even though it just feels like it right now, it's but one of the things we're looking at is to get a pure play in the shopping mall REIT space would be Simon Property Group. So that would be something that we would be looking at. It's to do it through a sector ETF is tricky because the sector ETFs are dominated by cell towers and data storage. So you kind of have to look at what you've got, and that's not the places that are really distressed, like shopping malls, where we really want to take advantage of that. So do your homework. Manufacturing, we've talked endlessly about manufacturing. We think that's, especially in the auto and construction business next year, it's going to be strong. So there's opportunity in things like, in autos, but in industrial coatings,
yep.
Things like that, I think it's going to be good. Anything on your side that you would comment on?
I just on the micro theme is the tech side is 5G is still a big piece for next year. The rollout out of Qualcomm and the success that they've had, you've seen Apple release 5G phones that are showing very good success in people transitioning off of 4G because there is such a meaningful pickup. So
yeah.
I think that is one of a continued theme in 2021.
Right, and not related to 5G, but in the tech space is the isn't there a whole new gaming platform coming out by Xbox?
Yeah. Xbox and PlayStation both coming out with refreshes. So you know the gaming cycle is very, very slow. They only come out, it seems like every once every 10 years. So when they do come out,
yeah,
it's big.
We've talked about the pet care industry, so that's a theme. It's a minor theme for us, but we are building out part of the portfolio. And then this home automation, and I don't know, Adam, how many little computers you have in your home, but it's like the number of spark plugs in my garage right now. You know, you count the weed whacker and the snow blower, and we got a lot of spark plugs.
Start that up.
So I just had an irrigation system installed, and I can control it now through my smartphone. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay. So I'm looking at the, and I know that there's the Siri and the Amazon Alexa.
Sure.
So, but we expect to see more in, more headway in home automation and then what that does inside the home, I think, because a lot of the technology that's been installed, I mean, it goes bad easily within 5 to 7 years. I mean, it's out of date. So, upgrades in home automation would be a theme also. And it, I don't know that there is one dominant player yet.
There's not. And that's been the issue is it's too fragmented and to get, you basically need one central hub, like you said, a Siri or a Google Home. To wrap it all in one bow.
In the office space, I think it's Crestron. I don't know if you've seen
that. Right. That is true.
But Crestron's a private company, isn't it?
They are, yeah.
So, energy, we think, is a trap, is another theme. I think energy now is what, below 2.5% of the S&P 500. Now, actually, with the rally last week, it might be a little bit bigger, but near term, we'll see a pop in oil prices with a recovery. Next year, in the second half of the year, is what we're kind of looking at, an economic recovery. But I think the trend is still sustained. Low oil prices, which I think is a trap for a lot of these energy companies that have not they've not invested in their businesses. So it's going to be a real value trap, and whether they can support their dividends or not. I mean,
it's a difficult road still ahead.
Yeah. So there's going to be opportunity, but I think that's what we have to look at is how do we shift portfolios? How are we shifting asset allocation? We talked about pulling China out of the emerging market. So that'll be, we haven't really talked about that on this program, but that'll be a big issue. So we got some work to do to get set up for next year. Let's get at it. All right, with that, thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk with you through the week. Welcome back.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.